Catholic population in Iraq dates back to the earliest days of the church, but is now at risk of disappearing due to high rates of emigration following the violence and upheaval of recent years. Today in Iraq, there are only an estimated 500,000 Christians left, of whom almost 70% are Catholics. This compares to a figure of nearly 1.5 million Christians living in Iraq before the US-led invasion that toppled the regime of Saddam Hussein. Tens of thousands of those Christians fled the violence and insecurity in the capital Baghdad and the northern city of Mosul by moving to northern Iraq, which is mainly Kurdish. Here they are safe, but they are now a refugee community within their own country, as there are virtually no jobs in the area with which to support themselves or their families, and most of them are in a desperate economic situation. Harry and Diane McCormick are an American Catholic couple who transplanted to northern Iraq to help rally support for Catholics in the region. The husband and wife team work as missionaries for a Middle East Christian satellite television company and are seeking to promote economic opportunities to help those Christians who were forced to flee to northern Iraq. They both spoke to me about the current situation facing the Catholic community there.
It is very serious because many of the families have outright left the country. Many families are divided with members abroad in the West, some in refugee camps. And within Iraq itself, there are serious problems because of the lack of economic opportunity.
I know that many have moved to northern Iraq since the US-led invasion that toppled Saddam's regime. How many have moved there and how are they coping there?
I don't know the exact number. I do know that last year in one village alone, El Kosh, some 40,000 families moved up from Baghdad and Mosul because of the troubles. They have roofs over their head, certainly say that. And Catholic Church there is looking after them as well as they can. But because of the lack of employment, it is very difficult for families to want to stay. They have an urge to find work, and they will look, and especially the young men, they will look and go wherever they may.
Now, of course, the dominant population in the north of Iraq is the Kurdish community. How have they reacted, though, to this influx of Christians from central and southern areas of Iraq? Is there some discrimination or anger or resentment against them?
Not that we saw. Not that we saw at all. They were very welcoming. And the Catholics that we talked to, the local population that we spent time with, are very welcome.
You said earlier that they're economic situation is very precarious, that there are no jobs for these displaced Iraqis. So how are they getting by? How are they managing to feed and clothe and educate their families?
They are getting by with little aid from the government, a little aid from the church, and aid from family members who are living abroad and sending money back to them. Those are their main sources of income. Some of the young men are also employed as guards, security workers for the villages they live in. So that is a means of employment, but it's very little money, helps a little bit, but it's not really a future for them.
The area that they moved into already had people working in all the available jobs. So there needs to be creation of new jobs to accommodate thousands and thousands of new people.
But what new jobs could be created to give employment to these people?
Well, many of the Christians who had to leave were professionals, doctors, medical people. There is a need for many social services in the north, so hospitals could be created, for example. There are teachers and educators that came in. Schools need to be created for the children to attend. So those are the types of jobs. Also, the northern area has a lot of agricultural possibilities. So one of the things that the church is hoping to do is to have economic experts come in, development experts, who can look around and analyze for them with regard to their agriculture, Also with regard to tourism, which they would hope to develop, there are many archaeological sites that might be developed for possibilities of tourism.
But historically, the Catholics there have always run excellent schools, but Saddam Hussein closed them all and nationalized all schools. So the church could turn around and rebuild now schools that have been closed for 35 years. In fact, they have three schools that they've opened. Chaldeans have rebuilt and opened just in the last 4 years. And they not only have 60% of the population Muslim students attending, but the income coming from that school in each case is paying for 100% of the operating costs for the parishes. So if they can open and build schools up north, which need schools, they can overnight employ all those teachers and all those professionals in the education area that have moved up north.
You obviously go around and meet many of the Iraqi Christians, as you say, who are now living in northern Iraq. What's their morale like? What do they say to you about their situation?
Well, yes, they would like to stay where they are, but they feel a great loss because they were really torn from their roots, so they feel this loss. The men are looking to support their families, and they feel at a loss. They feel as if they cannot do the work as providers that they were called to do. So this is very hard. And the family ties in Iraq are very strong. So splitting of the families with some sons going, say, to France and others to States or to Australia, some being left right there in northern Iraq, the splitting of the family, I would think, is the hardest thing.
They also all talked a lot about their love for Baghdad, their love for their Iraqi culture, their love for their country, and their real desire to leave behind them the years and the terror of Saddam Hussein and their start of a new era. So right now, they seem to be filled with hope that this is the turning point, that if they can really get engaged in this new community that they're in up north, they can start to thrive and have a whole new future and put Saddam's terror behind them.
How many of these people, though, living in northern Iraq, these Christians, are giving up and deciding to emigrate because of this very difficult economic situation? I imagine, as you said, it's a lot of young people, but are there also, you know, whole families who decide to leave?
Yes, they do decide to leave, but they are also dependent on visas and permissions from abroad. So there was a wave that left. There are three groups of Christians, really, Iraqi Christians. There are those that have been settled in the West recently. There are also huge numbers in refugee camps in Jordan, in Syria, in Turkey, in Lebanon. There are groups there, and there are the Christians who are still in Iraq. The Christian community, in year 2000 or so, numbered about 1.5 million. Now it is perhaps 500,000. Most optimistic number is 700,000, but we heard 500,000.
Do you find that people there fear for the future of Christianity in Iraq, you know, because of the fact of this emigration going on, this dwindling community?
Absolutely.
Very much so. They are afraid for the survival of the community as a whole. So many have left and so many are looking west as opposed to looking into Iraq itself. That is not a real choice that they have made. They would much rather turn to their homes in Baghdad and go back to their lives if they could. This is right not now a possibility. So they are forced to look somewhere else to provide for their families, and this is creating great concern on the part of the church. These families eventually will have to go where they feel they can make a living, and what the church is trying to do is to create a situation in the north where they can live, where they can have economic opportunity, can raise their families, put their kids in school, and have a normal life.
What made you both decide to go to Iraq, a place which, of course, many civilians from other countries would not want to go to, given the level of violence and insecurity that the country has faced since the US-led invasion in 2003?
Well, we wanted to go to see the situation there. We have some Iraqi friends in Rome, and we spoke to them, and we spoke to them about our desire and their concerns. And they mentioned to us, and were quite clear that the northern Iraq is safe. And so we decided that we would go and see. Moreover, Erbil has an international airport with flights coming in 4 and 5 times a week from cities like Vienna and Stockholm from the Emirates. So we arranged our affairs so we could go visit. That is indeed what we found, that it was safe, that the people were extremely welcoming. They were welcoming to Americans in the north there.
They desire people to come and visit. It not only brings them hope, sort of like somebody coming over for dinner. They got prepared to meet us. They all fed us. The whole community shared in that. So they really look forward to people coming. They want to show, they toured, gave us a tour. They wanted to show us all around their sites. So it gives them hope. It gives them something to look forward to. But it also gives them people to tell their story to and ask for advice as to how to develop their new economy.
And how strong would you say is the role of the Catholic Church there? How much do they depend on the church being there?
Completely. They are Catholic first and Iraqi second.
It is a very strong community, and the Catholic Church is integral. So they look to the church for advice, for protection. It is very much a part of their daily lives. That is where they turn first, these communities. So the church would approach the political authorities on their behalf. So the church has a very strong, not just a spiritual role, but it has a very, very strong community role there.
Do you have any inspirational stories that you'd like to share with us that really stand out as an example of bravery in a very difficult situation?
We met one priest at the seminary in Ankawa, St. Peter Chaldean Seminary, who was up visiting from Baghdad, and he had a very interesting stories to tell, very sad stories. His church was right in the middle of all the troubles in Baghdad, and he, at one point, was out walking, and he was shot. And at another point, his church was bombed when he was in it, and he also was kidnapped and left in a field for 9 days, and yet he persisted in going back to Iraq. Now, many of his parishioners fled. He persisted in staying, tending for the parishioners who remained behind. So that was a very inspiring story.
And they all are very dedicated and are working late into the night and start before dawn in order to travel to all the new small chapels and communities that the Catholics from Baghdad have been resettled in. So this priest that Hank and I were speaking to that had those three different incidences, leaves Baghdad, goes up north, travels around, visits his parishioners that have resettled up north, and then returns back down to his parish in Baghdad. They are all traveling constantly to check on and to help and to update the situation with their parishioners, no matter where their parishioners have scattered to. Their dedication is just amazing.
I was speaking there to Diane and Henry McCormick, American Catholic missionaries working in northern Iraq.